You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
And welcome to another issue of Mighty Marvel Geeks with Mike and Ken here on Sorcerer Radio. How are you doing today, Ken?
I'm doing wonderful, Mike. I hear that you have a house full of superheroes.
Yes, yes. It's the secret lair has opened up, and it's all right. So please excuse the background noise this week. We tried to go into, or I tried to go into a different room, but my other system just wasn't working as well. So
Jarvis was not happy with the other room at all.
No, he was not.
He's very, very disgusted, and we almost got a visit from Ultra.
You are not authorized to access this area.
That's what I got from Jarvis when I tried.
Yeah.
So anyhow, to progress on, I guess still kind of crazy week. I mean, Comic-Con's over. Last week we had the aftershocks, and it's, you know, that's over as well, but there's still plenty of Marvel news coming around. The big news coming out of Guardians of the Galaxy's, you know, first two weekends is Vin Diesel possibly pulling that same prank again to get himself into another role.
Yeah, it worked once before. Why not? Let's do it again.
So it looks like Vin Diesel might be playing Black Bolt in a Inhuman movies.
Yes. He'll get some screen time this time around.
Yeah, but still not much talking. Is this a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, his first Marvel role, he did a lot of talking and no screen time, so this one's going to be a lot of screen time and
talking. Yeah.
It's got to balance it out.
So, let's see. A Facebook image of Groot put up over the weekend seemed to suggest he might be part of another rumored franchise, the Inhumans. All that Vin says is, "I get the strange feeling that Marvel thinks I'm Inhuman. Ha ha." So here we go again with the viral campaign from Vin Diesel. You know, it's been speculated, you know, Black Bolt. Stan Lee has once mentioned that an Inhumans movie would be on the docket for Marvel eventually, and Diesel himself had mentioned he had talked about a fresh IP or intellectual property that might come out in 2016 or 2017.
But Kevin Feige hasn't signed off on anything yet.
So of course,
people are campaigning their way to get a movie and roles in a movie that does not yet exist.
This is true. So it's intriguing. But apparently a screenwriter for Inhumans has also been revealed amongst all these rumors of the Inhumans movie. According to our friends over at Collider, Joe Robert Cole is currently working on a script for the film. And of course, this is part of the same program that allowed Nicole Perlman to write an early draft to Guardians of the Galaxy, which helped Marvel see the full potential of the project. So we're curious to see if this is going to pick up momentum.
Yeah, it should be interesting. I forgot what I was going to say. That's terrible.
Well, there's with Inhuman, the term Inhuman is a priority for Marvel these days, considering they can't use mutant because of Fox.
Or other companies.
So, in the comics, the Inhumans are powered by the Kree, which would be Ronan's people, who we saw in the movie. And it's also obvious from the Guardians that the Kree aren't terribly well-liked by other species. But there's also been a lot of chatter on whether Carol Danvers, a.k.a. Miss Marvel, a.k.a. Captain Marvel, your favorite costumes.
Yes, but I'm not
wearing one today.
Yeah.
Could be showing up
soon. I'm not
soon
wearing anything today.
Now, this is a family show.
I said I wasn't wearing anything today.
And of course, we know Carol Danvers got her powers from the Kree. So if the Kree's going to get a push, I would only assume Inhumans and Captain Marvel aren't that far away.
Mm, you talking a couple years?
I don't know. I mean, 2017 is going to be superhero overload. I mean, there's tons of, I think it's already been talked about, 8 different superhero movies coming out in 2017.
Yeah.
2 from DC, 2 from Fox, or 2 from DC, 2 from Marvel. Sony with Spider-Man, supposedly Fox with two different ones with X-Men.
It's going to be Sinister Six. Right?
Something from the Spider-Man franchise from Sony, and two from Fox, being the purported Fantastic Four sequel and another X-Men, whether it's X-Men or Wolverine.
So I'm going to ask the same question that a lot of people asked before Guardians of the Galaxy came out, is would you see an Inhumans movie?
Not knowing a lot of the characters, I would, yeah.
Yeah.
I would.
What's that superhero doing in the background? Is there some villain in the room?
There is no villain in the room. That is a voice very familiar to those people here on Sorcerer Radio as Zoe Stardust, also known as my daughter. Entertaining family. Like I said, you know, had some issues trying to go into another room. And
so if she's not out saving the world, who is? That is the question.
The Inhumans.
Still. 14, 15, 16. Okay.
Marvel's Ant-Man might have a famous hero after all. What do you have on this story, Ken?
Not just a hero. Did you say female hero?
I said a female hero.
Did. You said a female hero.
Yes.
I say, because I guess some people are up in arms that there is no female heroes, that many female heroes on the screen. So, you know, they were following accusations of Marvel Studios' Ant-Man committing, you know, they weren't including fan favorite, the Wasp.
So I guess the speculation is what? Still bringing Wasp in?
Yeah, there's speculation that they want to have a female lead, or famous female hero, I should say, in the movie. Director Peyton Reed has confirmed that not every important woman connected with the character has been lost in transition from page to screen. Talking to Screen Rant, Reed talked about the personal nature of the story for Paul Rudd's character, Scott Lang. Scott Lang has a daughter, and
it's going to be in the movie as well.
Yeah. So the mention of Scott's daughter comes as a small comfort to fans of the comic book and the Ant-Man mythology. So, man, I'm so lost in the story, dude. I can't read it.
Well, I guess the speculation is whether it's
going to
Ant-Man,
be
Ant-Man's
daughter or Cassie Lang.
Right. So whether we see, Hope Van Dyne or Cassie Lang, one of them is going to potentially take over the role of Wasp in the movie. So
I guess you have to put her in the movie.
Wasp is going to have to make an appearance somehow.
And then have more of a prominent role in another film.
Yeah. So, it's potential. We'll have to keep track on this news and see how it goes. Now, major Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. news. Kyle MacLachlan is joining S.H.I.E.L.D. in a very pivotal role. Very critical role. It looks like he will be the person behind the role of Agent Skye's mysterious father.
Oh, dun, dun, dun.
So, Kyle MacLachlan returning back to ABC after Twin Peaks and Desperate Housewives. Of course, he's also had roles in Blue Velvet and Sex and the City. It's intriguing that he's been picked, but do you think it's a good choice?
You're asking me, Mr. Bringer of Doom and Gloom over this TV show?
Yes, I am.
Just should I answer honestly or go with the answer of, hey, yeah, we're a Marvel show. It's awesome.
And it's answer honestly.
I don't care. It doesn't really, I mean, he's a decent actor. I hope they wrote a good story for him and good dialogue.
It's definitely going to be interesting to see how they pull this out.
If this story had said he comes in to kill Fitz and Simmons, I would be happy.
Just don't like the tech specialist, do you?
No, I don't.
Well, getting back to movie news briefly, Kevin Feige talks potential Guardians of the Galaxy 2 plots.
Already.
I mean, they announced the sequel.
Oh, yeah, like what, the day after the film came out?
Yes. So, spoilers ahead.
Spoiler.
When talking to IGN, Feige said, I think it's pretty important when asked about the last-minute revelation that Peter Quill's father wasn't human. just the one-liner. I think it's pretty important. I think it's pretty important for James Gunn and what would be appropriate to be covered in a future Guardians installment. So I guess the second movie we're going to see more influence or more revelation of Peter Quill's, of who Peter Quill's dad is.
So are we focusing a movie on Star-Lord? Is that what we're doing?
I'm not sure. Figgy suggested that the movie's very clear depiction of Nebula escaping relatively unharmed, or literally unharmed, at the end of the movie was intentional. We have somebody like Karen, and you have to look that it's so weird and so great. I think this is something we'd like to see again. He hopefully pointed out that the comic book Nebula has a lot of varying different roles to play over the course of a lot of different titles, suggesting perhaps that her next appearance could be somewhere other than Guardians 2. Biggie has also teased the inevitable Avengers Guardians meetup. Who knows if and when these guys would ever connect, but it's fun thinking about and how Steve Rogers react to Rocket, or you're right, Drax, couldn't even have a conversation with Tony Stark. So, interesting info there.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to get to have... what a movie that would make.
Yeah.
All the worlds colliding. I guess that's kind of the course, though, isn't it?
It is. Well, it'd be interesting, too, to see how they would play it out like they have in the animated series where, you know, Guardians have come in, they've helped out, messed things up, and S.H.I.E.L.D. has directed, I told you, you know, you can't help, you know, you're not welcome back to this planet. But being Guardians, they still kind of do it from the outside to still protect, just without S.H.I.E.L.D.'s knowledge.
Right.
So, be intriguing to see how all that rolls.
They are the Guardians.
They are. So, I'm going to say we're going to take a quick break here, and you're listening to Mighty Marvel Geeks on Sorcerer Radio.
Crisis for the geek kind. Top geek officials admit they underestimated the hipster's defense capability. Join the geek revolution and save the galaxy. Geeks from all over the globe are joining up to fight for the future. They're doing their part. Are you? Want to know more? Join Weeby Geeks and the Geek Revolution and save the world. Service guarantees citizenship. Listen to Weeby Geeks podcast on iTunes and Stitcher or online at weebygeeks.net. Weeby Geeks, your voice for the geek revolution. Want to know more?
Welcome to the new sound of Sorcerer Radio. Version 3.0.
Sorcerer Radio presents the Sorcerer Radio app, version 3.0.
We have the technology.
Check out our brand new Sorcerer Radio app for all iDevices, as well as Android devices.
Better, stronger, faster.
Streaming Disney music 24/7. App highlights include a new broadcast window that shows you what you're listening to and what's coming up next. Multitasking so you can listen to SR as well as perform other tasks on your iPhone.
Gorge!
Listener access to all of our daily shows. The new interface, a new buffered stream, auto reconnect when signal is lost, visual EQ, pause, rewind, and scrub features.
My goodness!
And the new SR info area. Get your virtual Disney World fix today with the new Sorcerer Radio app version 3.0 from Sorcerer Radio.
Be careful with that. It's extremely dangerous.
SRSounds.com.
Rebel Force Radio.
Your source for the Force.
Star Wars news and commentary.
With Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack.
I've seen Star Wars 500 times.
Weekly live shows and podcasts.
RFR.
Like Rebel Force Radio on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Rebel Force Radio.
Your new source for the Force.
Rebel Force Radio. With Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack. Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Sorcerer Radio. SRSounds.com.
Chip and Company is your daily Disney fix for Disney news, park planning, giveaways, and so much more. Visit our friends from Chip and Company at chipandco.com to get you up to date on all things Disney.
A magic beyond anything you could ever imagine.
Meet the Magic is a site where you can find Disney sites, blogs, and find new Disney friends. Learn how to save money or make your trip more magical.
Prepare to have your senses awakened.
Visit meetthemagic.com and follow her on Twitter at meetthemagic, a proud partner of Sorcerer Radio.
It's an adventure too magical to miss.
scary. Can we go again?
Dan Barnes here, inviting you to take a ride with me on an all-new edition of E-Ticket Time. I'll be playing the best ride-through audio from all your favorite Walt Disney World attractions. No fast pass required here. Just tune in Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern, only on Sorcerer Radio at srsounds.com.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Are you a fan of Disney, Star Wars, and Marvel? Well, look no further than JediMouseketeer.com. On this geeky fan site, you'll find the latest news, videos, information on movies, comics, and more. Check out JediMouseketeer.com and follow him on Twitter at JediMouseketeer, a proud partner of Sorcerer Radio.
Remember, the Force will be with you, always.
Getting ready for your next visit to Walt Disney World? Well, why not check out Disney Trip Tips Fridays at 1 p.m. on Sorcerer Radio at srsounds.com with me, Sandy Alexander. Disney favorites from the parks, resorts, movies, and TV, and the tips that the family and I have used on our many visits to Walt Disney World. And if you have any tips or photos you'd like to share, you can post them at the Disney Trip Tips Facebook page. You can even follow me on Twitter at Disney Trip Tips. Disney Trip Tips on Sorcerer Radio. All Disney music all day long. SR Sounds.
And welcome back to Sorcerer Radio with Mighty Marvel Geeks at the helm. It is Mike and Ken. Man, I almost stumbled on that one. I think I made a Rocket Raccoon type recovery there.
You recovered nicely.
Oh, thank you. So, you're leading off this segment.
We have some old Captain America 3 screenwriter news. They're addressing if Falcon would take over for Captain America in the movies. Of course, you know, Marvel recently announced with the onset of Avengers Now initiative, Sam Wilson, aka the Falcon, will be taken over as Captain America for Steve.
Right.
Which of course has led the fans to speculate whether or not Marvel might be preparing fans to see Anthony Mackie play the Falcon, since he has signed on for a number of movies.
Well, we kind of did the same thing as well when the news broke, because we questioned it was the move in the comics being dictated from Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Usually doesn't happen with current movies and comics, but it'll be interesting to see. So SFX magazine caught up with Christopher Marcus and Stephen McFeely, who are screenwriters on the Captain America film series, and asked them if Sam Wilson becoming Captain America could happen in the films. You know, they were reserved and skeptical. The quote, they say, "I think the movies can accommodate almost anything if there's a need," said Marcus. "I think there's a much greater need to shake things up in the comics, because that's a narrative that's been going on for 60 or 70 years. So you're going to wind up having to do things to it. Ours has only been off the ground for 5 or so it's not quite time to start changing things up yet. Plus, I can't figure out how he's going to have the wings and the shield at the same time. It isn't going to get all crammed up on the wing. I don't know. When those things happen in the comics, you also have a tendency, perhaps cynically, to go, yeah, but he's going to be Steve Rogers in 2 months. He's going to wake up out of a cryostasis or whatever it is, and it's going to be like, oh, I need the shield back. And he laughs.
Okay, well, obviously, this guy hasn't paid attention to the others, where Steve's going into a advisory role. He's not in cryostasis or whatever. It's
he was just making a comment saying, in 2 months from now, Steve may go, oh, I don't want to be an advisor anymore. I want to go back to being Captain America.
Gotcha.
Saying.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So, well, I know you're not too keen on this next story. Uh-oh. But, we know, I'm sorry, this is one of those, for me, I've always enjoyed. Potential from, news from James Gunn, very promising.
Oh, you mean I'm not keen on this idea.
But, I'm into this, so what are we talking about? Well, he might be.
Oh my goodness.
That's right.
Not as bad as that song.
Oh, the song was great. The 80s.
I saw this in the theater. I enjoyed it.
I saw it in the theater. It's
cheesy, but...
But what wasn't during the 80s? I mean, even...
Do you imagine the Marvel movies in the 80s?
Oh, well, this was about it. Yeah. So, I mean... Iron Man
people
in the 80s.
People weren't ready for this in the 80s. Now I think, with the
way the MCU has just taken off, yeah. I mean, a reboot would be great.
I don't think a movie on his own at first would be appropriate would be right.
No. Empire Magazine, when they interviewed James Gunn, he shared some insight into Howard's future. He goes, I'll be honest with you. I was talking about it with my assistant right now. It's possible Howard could reappear as more of a character in the Marvel Universe. But if people think he's going to, that's going to lead to a Howard the Duck movie, that's probably not going to happen in the next 4 years. Who knows after that? That's fine. I'll wait. You say Howard the Duck 10 years from now? That's fine. I'm there.
Yeah, and I think with the way they marketed Guardians of the Galaxy, it was brilliant.
Yes.
And the success of that film, I think if they do it right, that Howard could be a credible type of character and role in the universe.
Could he possibly be a part of Guardians 2 in more of a role? Maybe not for the whole movie, but in some sort of role. Quite possible. I would love to eventually see the team up where, you know, eventually Howard gets the Iron Duck suit.
But right now, he's better off as a side character.
Correct.
You got to build him up for a while.
So let's hope there's more Howard in our future, or I might be the only one who's wanting more Howard in our future.
Are you going to be the only one in the theater?
Well, it seems like the response to Howard the Duck in the end credits has been absolutely incredible. So
that's probably for guys our age.
Could be. Very well could be.
I don't think kids are going, Mommy, it's a duck smoking a cigar.
Why did he say that? Howard is not your typical Donald or Daffy Duck, folks.
No.
Let's think Jackie Mason in a duck suit.
Pretty much.
So,
adult character, pretty much.
Yeah. Rick Remender flips Marvel's moral compass in the upcoming Avengers and X-Men Axis, with the first issue. Of X-Men versus, or Avengers versus an X-Men Axis.
That's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful. It's not due to hit the shelves until October. They're already looking into the second act.
Second act.
Of this crossover. In Act 2 of Axis, readers will be introduced to the Age of Inversion.
Which means the bad will be good and the good will be bad.
The greatest heroes of the Marvel Universe are corrupted, twisted, and transformed into nightmares and formerly self-serving villains, suddenly finding themselves compelled to do good. There's a new Sorcerer Supreme, the destruction of Latvernia, the return of an ancient X-Men foe, and the birth of Kula, if I said that right.
Clue.
And a new faction known as the Axis of Evil.
What is going on in his brain? Remender, he's flipping everything.
I don't know. But, you know, his Avenger stuff is great. They're great reads. The Dimension X stuff with Captain America has been awesome.
Well, you know, we go back to the last story, what we were just talking about, where the guys were saying with 60 and 70 years of comic books,
right,
that you have to do things that people go, oh, God, I can't believe they're doing this, because you have to come up with new stories.
Right.
You have to come up with new way things. But honestly, it all leads back to the same thing. Iron Man's not going to be bad forever. It's all going to come back around.
Right. And we've talked about it before, too. You know, Marvel, it's... The heroes come out of being monsters first.
Right. It's a soap opera.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, that's the way you have to look at it.
So, to quote Remender, the fun of something like this, in my mind, is to constantly subvert. I can't read this morning. Expectations and surprise people with exciting new things. The idea of having an event like this where, with seismic shifts every 3 months at the end of each act, also sort of branching to the entirely new high concept, keeps people on their toes, keeps things exciting. It's not going to just be one thing from A to Z. So, you know, be a fresh new twist. Might be worth, you know, I think it's going to be worth checking out.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. I'm going to check it out.
The way things go on in the first act and how our heroes are forced to deal with the threat of the Red Onslaught leads to the whammy that nobody is quite aware of at first. One of the things we came up with and fell in love with at the retreats is the inversion aspect, where I put on my Dungeon Master's cap and start twisting alignments around, which isn't as cut and dry as you think. I think inverting the character's kind shows you the antithesis of what they normally are. which I think helps shine a light on their character. As he goes on to explain the age of inversion, an inverted character, if you're Sabretooth, for example, you're no longer going to kill somebody to achieve your goals. You're going to save somebody and take the hit. He's basically the same person with the same memories and everything, only that Jiminy Cricket is in his head giving him different information. His moral alignment, his guts, who he is as a human is now aligned in a different way. So he's not capable of killing, at least not the way he used to. Imagine if you're a serial killer or a moral sociopath, and you wake up one day with an ethical compass and a conscience that you're all of a sudden recognizing, hey, this is wrong, and I'm spreading pain across the world. I am making life awful for people, and I'm not helping. All of a sudden, he's got the moral compass of a superhero, but he's still the same guy.
So he went through therapy, it sounds like.
Pretty much. So this is going to be an intriguing little thing. So there's more on this article at comicbook.com. Check it out. Check it out there. And then I guess our last story before we hit our picks of the week.
Dun, dun, dun. Mike's favorite news.
Terry Crews would be honored to play Marvel's Luke Cage.
Now, this is not saying he is going to.
No.
This is us telling a story that he wants to and that we want him to. And everybody should get the word out there. Go on Twitter, hit Marvel on Twitter, and say, hey, we want Terry Crews as Luke Cage. You know, send them emails. Mike will call his good buddy Kevin Feige.
But when asked,
some strings pulled.
But when asked by Digital Spy whether the project might be in his future, Crews replied, it could be. It could be. I'm waiting for the call from Marvel. I mean, I haven't heard anything, but if I could, it would be worked into the schedule. But I have to say, that would be something I would be privileged and honored to do. So he's willing to make the time, make the room. So yeah, let's see it happen. I guess it's time for comic book picks of the week. As usual, we do anywhere between 3 to 5 books. I can't find it.
you can't find your picks.
No, I found my picks. I haven't found the other. I think this is what people might be looking for. Now it feels more official.
Oh, yeah. I feel better now.
So, your first pick is?
My first pick is Daredevil number 7. Writer Mark Waid, penciler Javier Rodriguez, the original Sin tie-in. The man without fear braves the wilds of Wakanda. Uh-oh. Who lives there?
Black Panther.
Yes, sir. And the truth behind Matt's mother's greatest sin is finally revealed. And that's it for that one.
I went a different way for my first pick this week. I did Powers, Hero, number 11.
Obscure books.
It was one of those weeks. In a game changer for the entire series, Special Agent Christian Walker must choose between his humanity or powers with a cost. Every once in a while, something happens in this book that makes you say, hey, how are they going to get out of that one? This is one of those times. From the writer of your favorite Marvel comics, including All New X-Men and Guardians of the Galaxy, comes another shocking chapter in this Cops and Capes Odyssey.
Sounds interesting.
Your number 2 pick.
My number 2 pick is Original Sin number 7, and that's all you get.
Number 2 for me this week is Ms. Marvel number 7. It's Wolverine. Kamala may be fangirling out when her favorite, maybe top 5 superhero shows up for some help. Wolverine's in everything, isn't he?
He is in everything.
But that won't stop her from protecting her hometown. Who is the inventor, and what does he want with Kamala and her friends? Maybe Wolvie can be of some help. If you're not reading Ms. Marvel, you're missing out on one of the best series out there, says almost everybody.
Almost everybody. My third pick, Michael. You ready for it? Are you ready for it? Give me some excitement. All new X-Men number 30. Past, present, and future collide as the future Brotherhood exacts their final judgment on the all-new X-Men. Plus, Angel takes control.
Sorry about that. The marvelous dog Coco is getting a treat from Zoe Stardust.
And they're going to go save the universe.
And they will go save the universe. I cut you off. I'm sorry.
No, you didn't cut me off. I'm done.
My last pick is Elektra number 5. The critically acclaimed and captivating story of Elektra's search for redemption reaches a bloody climax. Legendary assassins go head-to-head at the edge of the world, but it looks like Elektra's soul is right at death's door. And I'm also going to add to this a pick... Sneak peek Sneaky pick.
Sneaky pick.
We're going to highlight, or I'm going to try and highlight from Marvel Unlimited, either a book or a series that's worth checking out as well. And to me, I'm gonna go. It kind of fits the theme from earlier in this segment. I'm picking the Howard the Duck series from the 70s, which you can find all 33 issues on Marvel Unlimited. It's a great chance to go back and catch what Howard the Duck was back in the 70s, how obscure, and just where the our generation's craze for Howard came from, and possibly what led to the movie. So go check out Howard the Duck on Marvel Unlimited. There is a free trial where you can read it, I think, for like a week or two. If not, it's $9.99 a month, or $69.99 for a year, unless you do the plus. Annual plus, which a lot of great benefits there. With the plus, you get a short box that's custom from Marvel, an exclusive Legends figure, a 10% card for like conventions when you see Marvel at conventions, access to Marvel Unlimited only panels, stuff like that. So
15% off digital comics and collections in the Marvel Digital Comic Shop.
True. And so yeah, and always watch on Comicology every Monday. They do it's like Marvel, I want to say Marvel Madness, where they'll highlight a title and do it at 99-cent comics on Mondays.
Nice.
So I think that's going to wrap it up for us this week. So check out the other shows on Sorcerer Radio, like Disney Trip Tips,
Disneyland Magic,
E-Ticket Time, DW60, of course, us, Mighty Marvel Geeks, and Rebel Force Radio that make up Geek Out Saturday Night on Saturdays here on Sorcerer Radio, Sorcom Review, the SRN Top 10, WDW Tiki Room, also two, WDW After Dark is coming back August next Friday. So look forward to that on WDWAfterDark.com. The little uncensored view of Disney, so to speak, in Disney news. So check those out, and where can they follow you on Twitter?
Same as you, Michael.
At Marvel Geeks
Marvel on Twitter. Geeks.
Shoot us an email at mmg@weebiegeeks.net if you have any news, questions, comments for the show, or even if you have your own picks that you would love to hear us mention. We'll give you credit for that. And
also get a hold of us through the website as well.
Yes, weebiegeeks.net. So that's going to wrap up another issue of Mighty Marvel Geeks. From myself, Mike, and my co-host.
I'm still Ken.
We say thank you.
I thought you forgot my name for a second.
No, I was
boss. You were waiting for me to say my own name.
I was waiting for you to say your own name.
What's my co-host's name?
And from us to you, we're going to say...
goodbye.
This has been a Weebie Geeks production.